थैंक यू। जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरवन चारी, यमुना तीरवन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरवन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांगा। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 31 टेक्स्ट 23। मैत्रेय उवाच इति प्रचेतसो राजन् अन्याश्च भगवत्कथाः श्रावयित्वा ब्रह्मलोकम् ययौ स्वायंभुवो मुनिः। मैत्रेय उवाच इति प्रचेतसो राजन् अन्यश्च भगवत्कथाः श्रावयित्वा ब्रह्मलोकम् ययौ स्वायंभुवो मुनिः। इति मैत्रेय उवाच इति प्रचेतसो राजन् अन्याश्च भगवत्कथाः श्रावयित्वा ब्रह्मलोकम् ययौ स्वायंभुवो मुनिः। Here the word is Swayambhuva. Swayambhu is Lord Brahma. Swayambhu means the son of Lord Brahma. Ladies, please. Maitreya Uvacha Iti Prachetaso Rajan Anyascha Bhagavat Kathaha Shavayitva Brahmalokam Yayam Swayambhuvo Munihe. Maitreya Uvacha Iti Prachetaso Rajan Anyascha Bhagavat Katha Shavayitva Brahmalokam Yaya Swayambhuvo Mani. Maitreya Uvacha. Maitreya said, Iti, thus, Prachetasaha, the Prachetas, Rajan, O King, Anyaha, others, Cha, also, Bhagavad Kathaha, topics about the relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shravayitva, after instructing Brahmalokam to Brahmaloka, Yayo went back, Swayambhuvaha, the son of Lord Brahma, Munihi, the great sage. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. The great sage Maitreya continued, My dear King Vidura, Sri Narada Muni, the son of Lord Brahma, thus described all these relationships with the Supreme Personality of Godhead to the Prachetas. Afterward, he returned to Brahmaloka. Purport. One has to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead from a pure devotee. The Prachetas got this opportunity from the great sage Narada, who told them of the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shlakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gora Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There are two sentences in the purport. First is a instruction or a principle that one has to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead from a pure devotee. So within this statement is also that one should not hear about the Supreme Personality from anyone else. Within this statement is also that from a pure devotee, there is no other topic to hear about. So the pure devotees, they have one purpose. There are many purposes. There's one main purpose, if you will. That one main purpose is to move about and remind others about Krishna. And it is not something new or artificial. It is what every living entity has within their heart, attraction for, love for Krishna. Every living entity has this. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai. However, that relationship with Krishna, that attraction for Krishna, is buried very deep under very thick layers of misconceptions, under very thick layers of worldly aspirations, under very, very thick layers of darkness, avidya. And to extract from that core the little tiny spark of Krishna consciousness that is there is the special empowerment of pure devotees. Others cannot do it. There are others who add to the ignorance. There are many who add to that ignorance. Even in the religious circles, they add to that ignorance. The adding to ignorance is to encourage someone in karma, fruit of activities. To add to that ignorance is to encourage someone in speculation. For example, even if it is philosophical, topics in philosophy, yet not about the personality of Godhead, actually adds ignorance, adds to the ignorance. Or giving living entities aspirations for finding happiness in this material world by however, whichever means possible, is also adding to the ignorance. But pure devotees, they don't. They have a single purpose, and that purpose is to somehow or the other extract that little spark of Krishna consciousness and fan it. And they can do many things to keep fanning that little spark, such that that spark may become a little tiny flame, and fan it further so that tiny little flame can become a fire, and finally a blazing fire of Krishna consciousness. That's the purpose of a pure devotee. And the whole phenomenon is that when one hears from a pure devotee, that spark actually lights up. However, when one hears, even if it is about Krishna, from one who's not a devotee, that little tiny spark is in the danger of becoming extinguished. So there are many persons who say, oh, I am studying Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam or something in different places. Yes, that is like saying I am taking poison from different places. Srila Sanatan Goswami has warned us that we should be very careful where we hear from. He said, if you hear about Krishna from someone who's not a pure devotee, then it is like drinking milk that has been touched by a serpent, poisonous serpent. So externally it looks like milk. And when one tastes it, it also tastes like milk. But the effect of that milk is that it kills the person. So hearing from those who are not devotees, meaning, to broaden it, hearing within circles that are non-devotional, those who are not actively cultivating their relationship with Krishna under the guidance of a pure devotee, this is very important. There is a high risk that that milk or that nectar, it looks like, tastes like nectar, whatever it is contaminated. It is contaminated by other conceptions of truth and reality. Therefore, a devotee must not hear anywhere else. And if this is called fanaticism, then yes, we are fanatics. It is like saying to a wife, or if a wife saying, I will only serve my husband. Don't be such a fanatic. What do you mean? Sati, that's what it means, chaste. So we are chaste to hearing about Krishna only from devotees, as a principle. And it's important because only in the next verse is talking about what happens when you hear from such a person. So there are many persons out there. I started this a little bit the other day as part of a question-answer discussion, a cultural point. So I'll take this opportunity to expand that cultural point a little bit more. For those of you who were not here, the point that we made the other day at the end of class as part of the question-answer discussion was in context to that verse that says Pita nasasyat, janani nasasyat, guru nasasyat, that one should not be a parent, a teacher, a spiritual master, anyone, relative. If one cannot deliver their dependence from the clutches of birth and death. Now, it is some people take that and it's described that all these personalities must be pure devotees. The answer is correct, that is true. The capacity to deliver someone from birth and death is invested with a pure devotee. Everyone else assists that pure devotee. So in the olden days, Vedic days, the parents, the community members, the relatives, the teachers, they would only do one thing. They would prepare the children in all necessary etiquettes and cultural aspects such that they can meet a bona fide guru. And when they meet the bona fide guru, that spark immediately sets to a blaze. So aspects of etiquette, behavior, bowing down to superiors, being submissive to superior instructions, etc. All of that was nurtured. Talking about pure devotees, talking about Krishna, talking about the pastimes of pure devotees serving Krishna, how they have the transformational capacity. All of this builds what's called the proper samskaras. And so the child or children will aspire for, oh, one day I hope to meet such a personality. The characteristics of a pure devotee, how to recognize a pure devotee, how to serve a pure devotee, all of that. So that when the right time came, there were no obstructions. With the passage of time, these things have been forgotten. The cultural aspects of how children are begotten, how children are trained, what are the aspects that they should be looking for, they have gone. In fact, I didn't say it that day, I'll say it today. Now the opposite has started. Children are told, don't surrender to a pure devotee. Don't go in this path, on this path. Don't go. Instead, do this. Look, everyone else is doing it. What will you get by becoming a devotee? Look at the devotees. They don't have anything. Deep down is the idea that devotees are parasites or losers or whatever is the adjective. Oh, because they don't have anything. So just 2 days ago we heard the verse that a person, the real wealth of a devotee is called adhyatma dhana, the wealth of the soul. A wealth on the spiritual platform versus wealth on the material platform. So nowadays children are encouraged. No, this is not what you should be doing. You can be a little devotee. You can do things. At the same time, you should have something on the side just in case. How are you going to survive without something to do? I'm not saying that occupational duties are not required. That's not my point. In fact, a thoughtful devotee will have an occupational duty if the track that they are moving on is the grahastha track. In fact, one who doesn't care to plan like that fails miserably in their ashram. In fact, they fail Krishna, if you will. And I will also offer an opposing thought to it. A person who knows that their life is moving in a particular direction, it is wisdom to prepare for that direction. One shouldn't enter any phase of life without preparing, without adequate understanding of what that phase looks like. Because everything looks, it said the grass is greener on the other side. So if you want to poke fun, some brahmacharis will look at the grahasthas and say, "Oh, they have all the facilities. They have so much fun. They wow, look at that. I'm sleeping on the hard floor, this, that. My gosh, this is tough. Look at them." And some of the grahasthas may look at the brahmachari and say, "Wow, they're so fortunate. They don't have a husband or a wife to manage. They are so fortunate. If I had known earlier what I'm signing up for, I would have been a brahmachari." Something. Badrinarayan Prabhu told me a joke, so I have to say, right? I love grahasthas, so I have to poke fun at them, at myself. Badrinarayan Prabhu told me this joke, that a man was walking along the beach, and he stumbled upon a little rusted lamp. So he was curious. He picked it up and he rubbed it. And whoosh, came out a genie. And he said, "I am your servant. How can I serve you?" He said, "Well, I'm in Chicago. All my relatives are in Hawaii. And it takes one lot of money, a lot of time to get there. Flying, and you know, it's blackout dates, Thanksgiving time, whatever. Can you construct a bridge that only I can travel on, and that I can travel fast? You know, let's say in an hour I should be able to reach there. Can you make something like that?" So the genie said, "Hey, I don't mind, but do you have any idea what you're asking? Nowadays the economy is so bad, everything has become so expensive. So much steel, so much amount of engineering has to go into it, the tar, the roads. I mean, it's a lot of work. Are you sure? Come on, ask for something else." So I said, "All right. You know, I've been thinking about this. My wife and I have been having a lot of arguments nowadays. And she just doesn't seem to get my point. So can you do something to help her understand?" So the genie said, "When do you want the bridge ready?" The point of back to, one shouldn't enter a phase without being prepared. So anyone who knows how life is going to move needs to prepare for it. So that means proper discussions, a proper enlightenment, studying from scripture, what the roles are, responsibilities are of that particular phase of life, and prepare. However, there is a verse that Narada Muni gives as solace, that says, "Tyaktva swadharmam charanam bhujam harer." This is the opposing view. That verse says that even if one forsakes or is a complete failure in his worldly occupations, swadharma, but he is a very nice devotee, then he has not lost anything. On the other hand, one may be very good in their worldly duties, but may not be so strong as devotees. Then they haven't gained anything. So many people take shelter of that verse. Narada has said, so it's all right. That verse does not, the words already assumes that one is genuinely trying to perform their swadharmas carefully. So the whole idea of preparing in life to meet and hear from a pure person is the preparatory work that everyone should be doing. And we were discussing the other day that because the cultural environment does not provide for children or youngsters to be prepared to meet a pure devotee, in fact, on the contrary, they're told, don't surrender, do not go. When pure devotees do meet such souls, the amount of work that they have to do is so difficult. In fact, the pure devotees have to now act as the parents, the relatives, the teachers, and bring a person up to a point ready for actual instructions in spiritual life. And that takes years and years and years and years. So the real instruction doesn't even begin until a very, very long time. Mostly it's about respect, proper attitude, some this. That's all the training is in. And it's unfair that all of that is put on the pure devotees. And the amount of energy that has to be expended is, I guess, ridiculous. But they have the capacity to do it, so they do it. Narada did for Mrigari the hunter, Narada did for so many persons. He did, it's not that he did not do. But in the case of the Prachetas, the fact that they met Narada and instruction was immediate. So the next sentence, the Prachetas got this opportunity from the great sage Narada. When pure devotees are encountered upon, that means they're providing us an opportunity. The opportunity they're providing us is to hear from them. And one who doesn't hear from them loses that opportunity. Or one who gets something else from them instead of hearing loses that opportunity. First of all, to meet a pure devotee is very rare. Right? We've heard how rare it is. Brahmanda brahmite kona bhagyavan jiva. Prabhupada describes the probability, the rarity of meeting a pure devotee is described like this. Let's say there is a turtle somewhere at the bottom of an ocean, and the turtle is slowly swimming towards the surface. Let's say there is a plank of wood floating on the surface of the ocean, and that plank has a small hole in it. What is the probability that the turtle, as it's coming up, that his head will come out through that hole? It is that rare to meet a pure devotee. And even if one meets a pure devotee, it is rare that the pure devotee will instruct. Of course, they are eager to instruct. It's not that they are not. They are eager to instruct. But if the receiver, the audience, is not ready, then they will not benefit. The Prachetas were not like that. They capitalized on that opportunity to hear. In fact, this is the preparation. The whole of the beginning of Krishna consciousness is a preparation that whenever we meet a pure devotee, the first opportunity to hear, we must grab. And when one grabs that opportunity, then one's life becomes successful in the real sense. And that's coming up tomorrow, so I'm not going to get into that verse. How they benefited? By hearing from Narada Muni, by capitalizing on that opportunity. There are many reasons that one may not capitalize on that opportunity. One is to not recognize a pure devotee. Second, even if they're recognized, they're distracted. They're distracted with something else that may be either immediate or temporary or of not much value. A third is indifference towards a pure devotee. Another is just not attentive to the value in the instruction of a pure devotee. So then the little spark doesn't set ablaze. Both are necessary, as Prabhupada described. A potent speaker and a potent receiver for the seed of bhakti to fully fructify. Just as, Prabhupada will also give the other example, just as for a child to be conceived, the father has to be potent and the woman or mother has to be also not barren. Only then conception can happen. So this verse is about the speaker. So the Bhagavatam will come alive when the speaker and the listeners are both qualified. So Narada Muni is definitely qualified. I mean, who are we to say? Bhagavatam says he's qualified. And the Prachetas are very qualified. So they have an experience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The work that that each of us has to do is to become qualified receivers. And that's the priority work. To become qualified receivers of the message of the Bhagavatam. Because we have abundance of association of pure devotees. We have also an abundance of instructions of pure devotees. The only thing lacking is receptivity. Or I shouldn't say lacking. The only thing that needs refinement is receptivity. When I say lacking, I don't mean that none of us is not receiving anything. That's not it can always be refined, can always be bettered. So the whole idea of sadhana bhakti is to why do we follow rules and regulations? One of the features of following vaidhi sadhana bhakti is to enhance our receptivity, to carefully guard, nurture, grow our receptivity so we can receive without any obstruction, without any loss in any engineering system. We talk about efficiency. Efficiency means how much output I get from whatever input I put in. So there is no machine in the real world that is 100% efficient. There is always some loss. So the whole idea of engineering is to minimize the losses to have maximum efficiency. It's not possible to have a machine that is 100% efficient because in nature there is loss, friction, whatever, we'll get into that. So the idea of efficiency is that whatever I'm receiving, that I'm fully taking in. That's our efficiency as a devotee. And it's not possible also because Krishna is unlimited, and regardless of how big our vessel becomes in receiving, Krishna is giving a lot more. One time a devotee expressed to their spiritual master, I feel that I'm receiving so much from you that my plate is full of mercy. A cup is full of mercy. And the spiritual master responded, you may have not noticed how much you're missing out. Just because my cup is full, it doesn't mean there's so much still happening. I need to expand my cup. If I take a little 1/4 teaspoon and say, Maharaj, I'm full of mercy. Yeah, it's full, but Maharaj is giving a Pacific Ocean of mercy. You take a teaspoon and say, it's not. The idea is to expand that receptivity. Careful chanting, careful hearing. Not just hearing, is that the tape's playing. Because when the tape plays, the mind also plays. And we don't know what we're hearing. Hearing carefully, picking up instructions, etc. We're not talking about how to hear, but if we discuss someday. Hearing carefully, thinking what this point means. The first thing in hearing is, as soon as we hear is, if this is the real conception, what conception am I carrying in my mind? How do I know? How am I interacting? How am I interacting with the deities? How am I interacting with the paraphernalia, with the devotees, with Bhagavatam, with the people of the world? How am I interacting? That's a check for the right conception or wrong ones. To remember during the day, this is what I've learned today, I've heard today. How can I apply this? The mind may say, it's all right, you're still a neophyte. This is high level instruction. Don't have to apply it right away. No. The intelligence of a devotee is, wherever I am at, how can I apply this principle? Today. Or today onwards, not just today. Because that's how life becomes better. As we apply the instructions we have received, our life becomes better to that degree. And every day as we apply, life becomes better. Better is that our receptivity to hear from, to live a life of Krishna consciousness becomes manifest. Same in the same analogy we're talking about, the little spark becomes a blazing fire. These instructions are meant to fan that spark. However feeble, bleak it might be, they're meant to spark them, fan them. So the Prachetas, they were ready. They performed their austerities, they received Narada Muni carefully, and they applied. That's coming up as what they did with it. So those are some thoughts, questions. Wow. I saw Himanshu first, Kirtida Mataji, Ashray Prabhu, Jai Jagannath Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you very much for your class. In regards to this point about all the other individuals in society is helping prepare the living entity to meet his spiritual master, I was thinking one area that I would like to work on. In our temple, we have a very loving and sweet atmosphere. So the tendency for friendly dealings is very prevalent for myself, which I feel is a weakness, because that may lead to familiarity and an offensive mentality in the current association of Vaishnavas, and then also, as you were saying, in the future when one meets a spiritual master. So how do we, within a friendly and sweet atmosphere, still maintain the necessary, I guess, vigilance to avoid being familiar and avoid making offenses?
So the caution is, first caution is, to not get rid of the friendliness and the sweet atmosphere. We must have. Krishna consciousness is not dry, military, painful. It is joyful. Susukham. Susukham also means easy. Because something that's very difficult is not joyful. It's easy. So we must maintain friendliness, sweetness. We can always improve on it also. So we don't give that up, however. We don't give up, or we don't introduce frivolity either. So there can be friendliness, and in that friendliness, sweetness, we should be able to help each other. One part of helping is to say, another part is to hear. Only saying is not the friendliness. To hear is also friendliness. So to hear, when someone says, this is not okay, okay. However it's done. And also say. But friendliness and sweetness must be maintained. It can be said nicely. Anything can be said nicely. But the seriousness of it as to why we're doing this. We shouldn't distract ours or others' attention from Krishna. That's something we should be aware of. Or if you're not aware of, then we cultivate it. We can talk about many wonderful things relating to Krishna that are friendly, joyful, sweet, all of that. All right. How can I be more serious? Was the question?
When there is a friendly mood within oneself, you may be making offenses and not be fully conscious of it. So when
Don't worry. If we are chanting properly, and we may be becoming familiar or not conscious, Krishna will definitely let us know. See, here's the thing. Krishna may let us know, and we don't have a problem with that. Ah, Krishna appeared to me. The devotees will let us know. We'll definitely come to know. And that's nice. We should be happy. So, sometimes, we have a tendency of becoming so overly cautious that we never start anything. Because we are only cautious. What if I go wrong? What if I say something wrong? What if I commit an offense? It's so much paralysis. It's almost paralysis even before doing anything. So better to do something. And if be cautious, be aware, but do something. And if there's something really wrong, it'll come to our attention. And we're happy to know. Wouldn't you rather know? Yeah. Like that. So, without worry, engage in happy exchanges. And Krishna will make sure somehow it will come to our attention if something's not okay. Does that address now? Mother Kirti there?
Well, you were speaking about raising children and training them to have the proper etiquette so when they meet a spiritual master, they can properly benefit and take advantage of that association. So the question that I have is, in training children, sometimes the situation comes where when they get older, they have desire to experience more of the material world, because they want to, I guess, just experience that. So what's the best way to continue to give them Krishna consciousness and help them to continue in their Krishna consciousness strongly, but at the same time not push them when they feel like they may not want to be so focused on Krishna consciousness principles and things?
Depends on how old the child is.
Like teenagers.
Teenagers. As a general principle, I may have the years of age a little mixed up, but roughly in the neighborhood of. Up to 5 years of age, generally, just whatever they do. Between 5 and 15, strictness. And I think it's something like, and then 15 to some other age, friendly. And at some point in time, the parents need to cut the cord. That is after, let's say, 21. So, training a child requires detachment. The detachment is, I will do my best. I will leave no stone unturned in making sure that the best samskaras are provided. But that child is free to take or not take, and that I cannot do anything about. So some children want to, they're curious, what is that whole world like? That curiosity comes with a price tag. That spark of Krishna consciousness, even if it was a flame or a fire, might diminish. So the roles we play as elders or parents or teachers is to give sufficient caution and warning. But after that, they make the choice. They make that choice. So there are different levels of intelligence, right? First level of intelligence is to hear and learn. That is not something we want to get into. Oh, okay. The second level of intelligence is to see and learn. Third is to experience and learn it. And some people have to learn that way. What to do? Some people have to go to the school of what's called hard knocks. They have to learn it that way. So we try the first level, second level, third level. Yet, they don't learn, they don't learn. Some people learn very late, some people learn early. So it's important to know each person's level of intelligence. But without detachment, then it becomes a harrowing experience. One has to be detached. If one is not detached, that is Krishna's exposing the attachment of whoever, the teacher, parent, that is what is the problem here, not the child or whoever. So this, everyone's learning, but ultimately each person is independent in that sense. But we always wish well. You want to add something?
As a caregiver, as a teacher or a mother or father, parent, if we are like following Guru, Shastra and Sadhu in whatever we are doing, the way we are training the child, and we are guided like that, then, and we should have full faith and with full determination, we should follow the principles and what the guidance is. If you look at the soul, not the child in that body, but you look at the soul, it's like in a journey. So the first 15 years or 20 years that the child is under your care, you strictly follow the principles and don't compromise on that. After they become adults, if they choose not Krishna but something else, but at least you gave the 20 years of, to whatever capacity we have, pure devotional service, like exposure and like the environment of pure devotional service. The soul may not take up after 15, 20 years. There's a possibility. But in some other lifetime, when it comes in contact with a devotee, it will start off where it left and it will be in a much better place. But those parents who compromise and don't put full faith in the Shastra, Guru, and all that, and they're always worried, what if we are too strict, the child may never take to the process. The soul will always learn mixed bhakti, will never hanker for pure bhakti. So wherever it goes in the next lifetime, whichever body, wherever it is, wherever it starts, it's not, it's a compromised situation. So we should not, I feel that as parents and as teachers and caregivers, we should not be afraid to be emphatic about the principles that has been given in the Shastras. We may come across as fanatic, whatever, but we shouldn't. In the end, when they become adults, it's a choice that they have to make. And the point he made, that we have to be detached. We did our service. It was supposed to be our service, we did our service. then the soul has a journey to take, you know, wherever the soul goes.
Ashwari Prabhu.
First of all, thank you for your concern for proper education and culture for the Vaishnavas. Second, excuse me, it might be a two-part thing, but if the first part clarifies it, it won't need to be. You made a statement that that verse that you were quoting, that Narada Muni speaks, it's presuming that the person who's talking about is already trying to follow their Swadharma nicely. Can you elaborate on what it means that they would actually be following their Swadharma nicely? Or trying to, I mean.
Because every ashram has certain, every varna and every ashram has certain responsibilities. So following Swadharma properly means knowing what those varna and ashram needs are, responsibilities are, and trying sincerely to fulfill them. That's what it means.
Okay, so I think without making a presumption, I think based on what you said, that the statement you're making is in context of proper Vedic culture. It's not like modern day kind of thing.
Yeah, modern day there is no concept of Swadharma.
Right.
However, people have certain ideas of Swadharma even if they don't have full sense of their psychophysical nature. For example, morality, ethics, duty, responsibility. These are in line with Swadharma. I've taken the role of a husband, a father, or I work at a corporation, whatever. I have to follow carefully. I should not be cutting corners or cheating. So in that sense, Swadharma. Because that's the best we have in this situation of Kali Yuga. Part B?
That's the whole thing. Oh. Because of your statement and then something else that I was thinking of in terms of modern context, I couldn't connect it, but that makes more sense.
The reason I quoted that verse is because some people use that as a crutch to be irresponsible. Irresponsible in their worldly duties because I'm being a devotee. And so my point was to caution to not falsely use that verse as a crutch. That was the point. Jai Jagannath Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. In my personal experience, I'm always like, especially in the recent days, feeling very much plagued by just like doubts and misgivings, and therefore always very much bewildered, and therefore like inclined to, when I'm hearing it, it makes it very difficult to hear. So how does one become fixed?
Is there anyone we can hear from? So we begin there. Because the principle is always right. The mediums may change, but the principle is always right. And we cannot lose faith in that principle. Once we lose faith in that principle, then we lose, or we lose out. So the hard work or the sincere effort that has been put in so far by others and by ourselves, because it's a combined effort. Never happens alone. Like, not you, but none of us, any one of us, can never say that I've come so far all on my own effort because I was very sincere. It doesn't work like that. I was very sincere, so I'm very fortunate that I was able to be carried by so many others. But the principle is always true. This or that, this person or that person, but the principle is true. So wherever we can hear from, if we are recognizing that there is a blockage, then wherever is the least resistance, take that first. So that in general the resistance is removed. Then it opens for other things to be in place. I have known persons who have lost principle, who have lost faith in the whole principle of hearing. And that's even more painful. It's more painful for everyone, it's more painful for that person or persons, and it's very difficult. That's all I can offer right now. Anything else? Yeah, Sarah.
So this is sort of a follow-up to Asraya.
You have to speak a little loud.
This is sort of a follow-up to Asraya Prabhu's question about following Swadharma. But how can we know when, I guess, following our worldly duties is impacting our devotional service, or which should take preference? Like, for example, if our coming to the temple and hearing is impacting our worldly duties, or like our family life is impacting our devotional service. So, I mean, I guess just, do you have any suggestions for how we can recognize, like, when to choose one over the other, like whether it's more important to choose devotional service even if it's negatively impacting our worldly duties?
Yeah. In the lives of great personalities, that means we are excluded already, so we're talking about great personalities. That's that verse that they may not follow certain worldly requirements. However, we're not that, we're not there. A life, how to, this is a, in college environment or youth environment, the same thing asked in a very different way, how to balance. Generally, when you see a person neglecting, let's say, worldly duties in the name of devotional service, or is it even worthwhile discussing the other side, that very good with the worldly duties and neglecting devotional service? We will, just for the sake of rounding it out. There are persons like that. When you see a person neglecting, or this is material like that, the first thing to know is that their conception about life is not clear. The second thing is, it also means that their application of the principles of bhakti is not proper. I'm speaking general, we don't know the situation. Some people may have some situation for which they are like that. So this requires now personalized, and that's the third point, that each one of us, every one of us, has to have proper guidance of how to execute the activities of bhakti and life in general. Without guidance, like without a, what's that called? In the ocean there's a light, lighthouse, thank you, it's a simple word. Without a lighthouse, no boat can get home. You have to have, and that lighthouse is fixed, fully shining light. You don't take other boats as reference necessarily, you take the lighthouse. And the lighthouse is scripture, the words of a sadhu, and the instructions of guru. Without that, there's no direction. Whatever we do seems right. And anyway, sincerely we're putting effort, it seems like I'm heading in the right direction. It's like Christopher Columbus, who just discovered America instead of going to India. Very sincerely going, but just landed somewhere else. Just saw different Indians. Needs guidance. If Christopher Columbus was initiated before he left, he may have landed in India. You got the idea. Proper guidance is necessary. You're welcome. I just kept it to simple principle. I didn't get into deep, but you get the idea. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.